Hey, it's me, Rob Ryan, jumping into your podcast feed just to tell you how excited I am about the episode that I just finished recording with the net worth nurse, Savannah Arroyo. I hope you take 45 minutes out of your week to listen to or watch this episode with us, because it is empowered, it is inspiring, it is detailed and very specific about a path towards financial freedom that anybody can create for themselves. But in this particular case, we tell Savannah's story. She tells it herself best through the lens of her own amazing journey. The story we share with you today is the real story, the full story behind this incredible journey that this young woman has been on to go from a registered nurse, fully committed to her career, deep into her career, master's degree in nursing, healthcare, so committed professionally to that path and that life, then finds real estate investment as a path forward towards creating her own financial freedom and flexibility, and ultimately as a bridge to entrepreneurship, and now also building stable, viable, exciting new fintech platform to enable healthcare organizations, associations, big hospital groups to enable and empower their employees to have more diversification in their financial investment portfolios as the parts of their benefits packages. It's incredible. The story of Invest Health, the net worth nurse as an author, as a speaker, as a brand, and then the journey of Savannah as a mom and wife and professional is just incredible. So I'm super stoked to have shared it with her. I'm glad to share it with you. I hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoyed making it. Hola, hello, hi, bienvenido, and welcome back, or welcome to Entrepreneurial Thinkers. Just a quick reminder for everyone, you know, this new show is all about entrepreneurial thinkers, sometimes unconventional, sometimes unexpected, and sometimes, like today, those who use entrepreneurial thinking to forge a completely new path forward for themselves and for others. So today, I'm super excited to be joined by my friend, who I met here in Los Angeles just a few years ago, Savannah Arroyo. Savannah's a registered nurse, real estate investor, and entrepreneur. And we're going to unpack all of that together with her today. Savannah's not your ordinary nurse, though. And before we go further, I just want to stop for a second and just say thank you, Savannah. Thank you for your work as a nurse, because I think it's an underthanked, underappreciated profession in our world. And I think the rest of the world learned that in these last 3-4 years during the pandemic. So I just want to take a brief moment just to say thank you. Thanks for your work on the front lines. Thank you for helping people in their most vulnerable moments. Thanks for being you and just bringing this kind of great positive energy that you bring to the world. So before she began her career in these various clinical settings as a professional nurse, she quickly climbed the ladder within the healthcare system. But if I have the story correct, it was after the birth of her second daughter that she began to embark on a different journey, one that has now led her into the world of real estate investment and entrepreneurship. And in just this last few years, Savannah has built a sizable portfolio, allowing her to leave her full-time nursing job behind and take not only a new path for her and her family, but what we're going to really dig into today is then turn that into kind of creating a path that inspires and empowers and enables other professionals, nurses in this particular case, that she is on a mission to provide them with the same types of resources and education that maybe she didn't have, that she had to go looking for, that they can use to thrive. So today we're going to dive into this inspiring story of combining healthcare expertise and professional experience with their entrepreneurial spirit to find out more about her as an entrepreneurial thinker. So Savannah, hello, my friend. How are you?
Hi, doing great. Yeah, no, I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. And real quick, geographic check. You used to live down here in Los Angeles. You now live up like northern/central coast area, right?
Santa Rosa, California. Yep.
And in fact, that move was as a result of part of this ability to kind of create your new path in your life.
Exactly. Yeah, that financial freedom.
That's awesome. So let's just jump right in. Like, you have such a, again, kind of, you fit the definition of this. You were one of the people on my list that I said I wanted to get on this show, because every nurse I've ever known, or every, say, teacher I've ever known, those people tended to be like the personalities that just said, like, I just want a job. I want a great stable paycheck. I want the benefits. I want the predictability. And I'm going to do this until the day I die. And you come along and you have all that experience and that similar background, but you have this mindset that is different. And it literally has led you on this exploration to create a better path for yourself, which has created this whole other life for you. So tell us some of that story.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, early on, I knew I wanted to go into nursing. I have such a love for the profession. And early in my career, I was naturally drawn towards leadership, process improvement. I loved operations, learning how things worked. And so I went back to school. I got my master's degree in nursing leadership and administration. And I had my eyes set on becoming a CNO, a chief nursing officer, the head nurse in the hospital. And I was climbing the corporate ladder towards that goal and mission. But yes, in 2020, exactly as you said, my second daughter came into the world and my husband and I were both working very demanding jobs Monday through Friday, on call occasionally on the weekends, holidays, after hours, and just looking at our growing family and the time freedom that we wanted with our daughters growing up, our jobs weren't really allowing that. We were heavily dependent on our W-2 income, on our paychecks coming in. So even for me, when both my babies were 3 months old, I had to go back to work and hand them over to a complete stranger to take care of them because I was completely dependent on that paycheck. And I hated that feeling. It was a gut-wrenching feeling I will never forget. And it's ultimately what led me to hopping on the computer and Googling passive income, multiple streams of income, how to build wealth, like how to start investing, like how to start using money as a tool. I felt like such a slave to money, like a victim. Like it was, it didn't have a good meaning in my life. And to be able to learn about it and educate myself and use it more as a tool to start investing was a big focus. And so I started learning about real estate investing for obvious reasons. It's one of the best ways out there to grow wealth and really went all in. And so now I currently help a lot of healthcare professionals get started passively investing in real estate through real estate syndications, which is what my husband and I do. We go out and we flip apartment complexes and we bring investors along for the ride and give them quarterly returns. And that company and my real estate investing has led to a lot of the financial freedom in my life. It allowed my husband and I to both walk away from our full-time jobs. We're working on our real estate business full-time, a lot more with our daughters. And now I'm building a startup, InvestHealth.
That's insane. It's awesome. But you literally, there's so many things I want to unpack there real quick. So you didn't necessarily, you didn't have a particular connection to real estate. Like you didn't have a basis of experience or someone in the family or something. There was no reference point. So you didn't go on the computer one night, like frustrated and sad and say like, okay, how do I take this real estate knowledge I have? You literally said like, hi, internet. Like, how do I find a path forward that creates the financial flexibility and freedom that I have so that I'm not dependent upon this kind of drug-like addiction that I have to my W-2 paycheck?
Exactly. Yes.
Wow. And to your point, a lot of the most prominent information was around real estate.
Yeah. I mean, this is 2020 at the time. So I was just going to say, I mean, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin was everywhere, right? But just continued to educate myself. I mean, podcasts, books, different communities, looking around forums, seeing what people are saying, YouTube videos, binging it all.
Wow. And this is, for context again, just in case people lose track of the timeline here, this is while you are, as you just said, 2020. So while we were all in the middle of something completely unexpected and historic, but while you are also still a full-time nurse.
Yeah, no, exactly. I had two under the age of two and my baby was just a few months old and that desperation really sunk in at that moment.
So I'm not a nurse and I haven't been a W-2 person for a while. So this is maybe not the greatest context, right? But let me ask on behalf of maybe the average person, right, who is living through those types of circumstances, no matter what they are professionally, I would imagine a lot of those people, maybe you felt this way, maybe you didn't, like feel like there's no way out of this, right? Like, I mean, I can't be some successful real estate investor. I don't have any money, right? Or the money I have is the money that I get from my paycheck, the money my husband gets from his paycheck, and then the little bit of savings we set aside in our 401k accounts at work or something like that. So did you feel like that? And if so, how did you overcome those feelings?
Yeah, I mean, so many limiting beliefs. I mean, not just about lacking real estate knowledge, like you said, lacking money and capital to start investing, lacking resources and education and a team and just overall skills and how to go out and buy. I mean, none of us are taught this stuff, right? I mean, none of us are even taught formally how to buy a house, which is crazy. I mean, that's housing, right? A basic need. So yeah, it was a lot of self-education at first, and the limiting beliefs that came up over and over again were really stemmed from just not having education. I mean, almost every limiting belief that came about, it was something that I could read, listen to a podcast about, or read a forum or a book, or watch a YouTube video with someone explaining how they overcame that obstacle of not having money to invest in real estate and certain things like that. And so really, education was the foundation of everything.
It's amazing. And you touched on it. So let's go there. Just doing this for yourself and your own family and kind of liberating yourselves, you and your husband, to fully, you know, be there for your daughters, who are amazing, by the way. I see you guys on social media.
Thanks.
So cute. Your daughters. I'm a girl dad, and I'm a big ally of women and young. I just love it. Right. I see your posts from you were in Mexico recently, and I see your posts. I'm like, these girls are just so cute. And you know, their minds are just soaking up life, and to have you both present for them is incredible. Right. I mean, to participate in that process on a daily basis, like so deeply, is just such a gift that you've created for yourselves. All right. So let's talk about this. You say at the end, like, hey, and now I'm an entrepreneur, right? Like now I'm building this business. So let's talk about that. It wasn't enough just to invest and change your career, but you decide, okay, wait a minute. I want to do this for others. So tell us that story.
Yeah. I mean, really all of it has stemmed from just educating and helping others and informing them about these investment strategies. So even what I've done with Net Worth Nurse, which is really my personal brand, stemmed from me learning about these real estate syndications and people being able to passively invest in real estate without having to do a lot of work, knowing that these opportunities exist and have existed for hundreds of years, but were reserved primarily for the wealthy. And there are a lot of opportunities where people can, I mean, your everyday nurse and doctor can jump in, right? But they don't know about it. And so I use Net Worth Nurse as a platform to really educate and inform healthcare professionals that these investment strategies do exist and raise capital for my real estate investments. I've partnered now with hundreds of them on these real estate deals. And in the process of hopping on the phone with these mostly healthcare professionals and learning about real estate investing and what their investments current portfolio kind of looked like, it was the same roadblocks coming up every time they didn't even have a basic foundation. They didn't even know, you know, what an ROI is, what an average annualized return, how to compare different investments, you know, how to set a budget. Like, I can't tell you how many nurses I've talked to have never set up a budget because they don't want to look at where their money is going every month.
Right.
They don't want to know. And so I started having these conversations over and over again. I mean, I was working as a manager in the healthcare system for a long time over many different departments, and I would have all my new hires be sitting in my office asking, what percentage do I allocate to my retirement plan? And just basic questions that they
like, essentially, sorry to interrupt, but like essentially, because you were like a mentor and a boss.
Exactly.
So they're like, hi, I'm a new nurse. Like, I'm so excited to be at this level of my profession. Oh, by the way, hey, like, what do you allocate to your investment? Like, what health plan did you choose? Like, so it wasn't that they were asking you for this advice because you were this real estate investment guru on the outside. It was normal questions that they would ask a peer.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes. And healthcare professionals, more than most, I mean, especially physicians, are very almost embarrassed to admit that they don't know a lot about investing in their finances because they are highly educated professionals. And they do get targeted and preyed upon by a lot of different financial institutions. And so they just really have a bad taste in their mouth. And so there's just this huge lack of resources across the board. So Invest Health, which is my startup company, it's a financial health benefit for healthcare professionals. So we're integrating within healthcare companies like hospitals, staffing agencies, associations, unions as a benefit for their members. And in the platform, what we provide is first and foremost, a financial plan. So 72% of Americans don't even have a financial plan, which is insane, right? How can you begin to have ownership and control over your financial future if you don't even have a plan in place? So first and foremost, our product delivers everyone a plan within 10 to 15 minutes of hopping on and answering some questions, like a close to 100-page, full, extensive, personalized financial plan with action items about how you can gain more ownership and control over your financial future. tons of education, literacy resources in the form videos, articles, courses. We meet learners wherever they're at. It's completely gamified. There's ways that they can direct message a financial coach or hop on a one-on-one call with a financial coach. So for the people who are embarrassed to ask their money questions, they can kind of do it behind a computer screen and get answers to their questions immediately.
Yeah.
For those who want to jump one-on-one face-to-face with a person, I mean, via video, you're able to get that support as well.
Wow. It's funny. I'm listening to you and I'm thinking the parallel of this particular niche professionally, like you said, doctors or healthcare professionals, right? Ironically, it's the people that show up. We, the average citizen that shows up at your doorstep as a nurse or a doctor, we sadly in the US's case are usually showing up there because we didn't have a plan. Like we didn't have a health plan. Like we just, it's emergency time. Right. And so we're showing up and then we're embarrassed. And frankly, that's probably why we didn't go to the doctor, why we didn't do preventative healthcare over the years. And we didn't worry about our fitness or we drank too much or whatever it might be. Right. And then we wind up at your. And so it's interesting, right? The parallel of now the healthcare professionals in this part of their lives, in the financial arena of their lives, they ignore it, put it off, defer it. It just pretend like it's not part of their responsibility because they're embarrassed.
Yeah,
right? They don't take care of themselves. And then eventually, again, it could wind up in bad circumstances. You could lose a lot of money. You could not have maximized your money. So it's not so your motivation in part was just literally natural circumstance. It wasn't so much like, hey, I'm going to help all of you to figure out how you can all quit your job. Like I want to quit my job someday.
No. Yeah, exactly. It was really providing it as a benefit. So, I mean, mental health got a huge push during the COVID-19 pandemic, as it should. I mean, it was missing from a lot of employer plans. And now a lot of employers have integrated a mental health benefit of some sort into their benefits. I mean, over 70% of people's stresses stem from money-related problems. And that's just a huge gap that's being missed in these solutions. So coming in and bringing this financial support and solutions is really our biggest goal.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So a couple different tracks here I'm curious about. One side is you were meeting peers, professionals along the way as you were still working full-time or part-time in the industry. And then those relationships, we got a lot of opportunities for folks to come along, kind of co-invest alongside you or with you.
Yeah.
Right. So let's talk about that. Like you've raised just in your independent path in yours and your husband's real estate business, you've raised a lot of money with these other professionals that you worked with. Like share some of that, share some of your insights into kind of how that fundraising process went with coworkers and, you know, kind of what kinds of strategies maybe even you've deployed to attract and make those healthcare professionals feel comfortable as investors in an area that they didn't have any familiarity with.
Yeah, absolutely. So really kind of to take it a step back in what we do. So we go out and we flip apartment complexes. So we're looking for a building that's really been misrun. It's maybe been in the same family for generations, same owner. They're not taking care of it. They're letting the repairs and maintenance go out of whack. They're not screening their tenants appropriately. So they have bad tenants in place. It's just overall not functioning. And sometimes they don't have the money to take care of large items like replacing the roof. Overall, they just want to get rid of it, right? And so this is where we as investors see the huge opportunity. We call them value add projects because you're forcing appreciation into the deal. So for anyone who doesn't really understand real estate appreciation, so you buy a house for $200,000, 2 years later, it's $300,000. Now you have $100,000 worth of appreciation. Real estate just gradually, historically appreciates year over year. So one piece that makes real estate investing so powerful is this appreciation aspect.
Sure.
But when you can force appreciation into it through these value add projects, that's really what makes it so powerful. So we go out, we find these apartment complexes, we go in, we're replacing roofs, windows repairs, we raise capital from passive investors for the down payment and then also these repairs and operation budgets. We also invest heavily in every single one of our deals. But we raise this capital, start putting it in place. Usually it's around a 5-year project. We're looking for around 100% ROI for our investors. So if our investors are putting $100,000 in the deal, our goal is to get them that $100,000 plus another $100,000 on top of that. And that's seen through quarterly distribution. So all of our assets are cash flowing from day one. So another beautiful part about real estate is the ability to cash flow. So what that means is after all the income that's coming in the building, so all the rent that we're collecting after expenses are paid, what the leftover money is considered is cash flow. And so we distribute that to all of our investors every quarter. And so that's how their investment looks. And then when we go to sell the building, that's when they're earning the majority of their return. But there are opportunities for cash out refinances and different things like that throughout the lifetime of the investment. But yeah, to date, we have 6 apartment complexes up in Oregon in different submarkets. We invest in tertiary markets with really low home ownership. So, I mean, only 30% of the citizens in the city own a home, meaning that 70% have to rent, and inventory across the country, real estate inventory is low. So it puts us as owners in a really great position where we see very low vacancy rates. We're able to increase rents. I mean, through the COVID-19 pandemic where people were scared, didn't know what was going on. I mean, real estate has proven to be a very strong asset class. Inflation has pushed rents for all of our investments. We're over delivering on all of our projections so far, but we invest in mostly multifamily. So that's the apartment complexes. We do have a self-storage facility down in Arizona that we're in a sense flipping as well. But to date, I've raised over $5.5 million, mostly from healthcare professionals for these deals. Awesome. So nurses, docs, pharmacists, physical therapists, people that historically have thought that the only way that they can earn extra income is to sacrifice their mental and physical health to work double time at the hospital.
I was going to say, just by doing more of what they're skilled at doing.
Yeah. Yes. And so for me, showing them and educating them that, hey, you can take that hard-earned income and invest it, and now you're making that money work for you and it's growing in your sleep.
That's awesome. And also, I just want to stop and tell you, you are an excellent teacher. Like, you're a great communicator at this. I mean, you know this already, but like, just the way you articulate these concepts and then you kind of backtrack, break them down, re-explain them, and then take it to, like, that's very, I could see why it would be comforting and reassuring to listen to you or to get educated by you in these processes. So kudos for that. Along this journey, have you individually like run into other people who almost like look and feel and sound like you, like where you were at that moment, who then say to you, okay, awesome, thanks, I'm getting started, this is great, you're educating me, I'm involved now, I've diversified my portfolio, but man, Savannah, I look at you and your family and like, I want that, right? Like, I don't want to be the chief nurse officer that I thought I wanted to be either. Have you run into those people and then help some of those people kind of
absolutely
be the sequel of your story?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And that's the great thing about entrepreneurship. I mean, even coming into it, I mean, when you go from a W-2 employee where you're an employee and working from someone else, there's a lot of structure. There's a lot of predictability in a sense for your day-to-day. And when you move into the entrepreneurship world, I mean, it's insane the amount of ways that you can structure things, that you can do deals, partnerships. Like, I just remain very open to, I mean, I love networking. I mean, Rob, you're a networker too, so I know you can appreciate this, but I mean, there goes so much for harboring relationships in the space and all these different opportunities start creating. I mean, yes, I've met nurses and doctors who felt the same way as me, and I've ended up bringing them in as coaching students and have partnered with them on a large apartment deal where they brought in investors as well. So there's so many different ways.
And then eventually, like, they're going to be able to be on that same path where, like, okay, and then we did our second deal, and now, like, I can walk away from my full-time job and I can be this. Okay, so we're creating mini Savannahs all over the place.
It just starts multiplying tenfold. There's so much opportunity in the space. When you start connecting with like-minded individuals who want to do similar things, there's lots of opportunity.
No, I love that. And I love the dual track nature of it, right? Because there's, almost triple. It's your own personal story. There's this, like, you can collaboratively help people in partnership arrangements types of things and maybe inspire someone to follow their own path this way. But then there's what you've done with InvestHealth, what you're doing with InvestHealth, what you will do with InvestHealth that's another income stream for you. It's another financial wealth creation opportunity, as well as just being a creative project that you can pursue. All right, this is going to be a pretty obvious question, but super mom, right? So mom to 2 little girls, great marriage, great husband, good family. You're a professional nurse for all these years. You're an active real estate investor with multiple projects, raised multiple millions of dollars of capital, building a startup that is helping other people get empowered. Like, how do we manage your time? Like, do you just sleep like an hour a night? Like, what are you doing?
So it's definitely evolved. In the beginning, at the early stages of the grind, when I was feeling that pain, I mean, what leads to change is almost that desperation, that deep, dark hole that you get into that starts driving that change. And that's where I was when I was working as a nursing administrator through the COVID-19 pandemic with two kids under the age of two and not having the time freedom, like that drove me to every night after working 8-9 hours, hanging out with my kids, do dinner, bedtime, bath time. As soon as they were in bed, my husband and I, for a year and a half, almost 2 years, 8 till midnight, maybe 1 a.m., working on this business. I mean, grinding on it. I'd be at work having to hop out of all my lunches, taking phone calls. Like there, I would be waking up early to record podcasts before I went into my hospital shift. Like it was in the beginning stages, there was years where it was a grind. And it.
I met you at a networking event where you're like, okay, I'm trying to meet people before you move from LA, like you're out there hustling just like everybody else. And then I watched you on social media, which, by the way, audience, will share all the ways you can find her and connect with her and learn from her at the end of the show. Don't worry about that. But for a lot of people of any age or experience level, that hustle lifestyle would be enough or overwhelming enough, right? And you're doing that, plus you were full-time or, you know, three-quarter time nurse as you were transitioning away. Plus, again, mom to like little baby kids.
But I knew it would pay off. My why was so strong. And for me, it was like looking at the numbers and on the real estate deals and the real estate investing and seeing the numbers and so much risk that you could mitigate through proper market research and underwriting and looking at the full P&L profit and loss statements of these buildings. When I started seeing the numbers and how this could change our lives, then that was the driving force of like, if we were grinding on this for 2 to 3 years, like we'll be done with our full-time jobs. And we were. I mean, within 3 years, both of us had left our full-time jobs. We're earning enough income from our real estate investments to support our lifestyles. It's given us the time freedom. So it's definitely paid off. So now, I mean, what's kept me sane, you know, I have a very healthy lifestyle. I don't drink alcohol. I meditate daily. I do a lot of yoga.
That's awesome.
I do just a lot of self-actualization type work. A lot of different things like that. It's taking care of myself, especially with two kids and running multiple businesses is first.
We don't talk a lot about, until it's a bad feeling, we don't talk a lot about feelings and as entrepreneurs in particular, because I think it's still sadly perceived to be like the soft side of things. And that's as if that's a bad thing, right? I have a question though, and I suspect I know the answer. The feeling of grinding, right, and putting in the long hours and working the night shift literally as a nurse versus the feeling of maybe, as you say, putting in the same hours or more, right? And it being the night shift, as you described, like kind of like as an entrepreneur, did it feel different to you? Like, did it not just that you saw the numbers, but did it like feel like, okay, I could do this. I didn't want to do that anymore.
Yes. Definitely. You start having a lot more choice. You start creating a lot more freedom in your life, and money can do that for you. I mean, when you start investing it and using it as a tool, there's a lot of different ways that you can use debt, just both even with real estate, like credit card debt, for example. Like there's ways that you can hack a credit card system and use the points and get travel perks out of it. And there's a way that you can fall victim to credit cards and accrue mass amounts of debt, buying stuff that you don't need. It can work different ways for different people. And so just using that insight to start changing our life and making little changes every day, it's paid off so much.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. I mean, again, having known you now for a few years and watched the journey online from afar, like I can see how it's changed. Like I can see how it's affected you, but it is an interesting dynamic if we were to just measure the hours worked, right? It's like you're putting in as much time and energy now as you were putting in then. But it's this concept of, I say in my own self, like my lawyer on my very first startup when I was probably a little bit younger than you now, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, said when we closed that first deal to fund that first company, he's like, you realize like you're fully unemployable now, right? I hope you are going to be a successful entrepreneur because you're kind of stuck. Like, cause no one's going to, and in that moment, like at the moment I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. Right. And then there've been moments over the years where it's like, oh shit. Like he was right. Right. And dang, I wish I had a little bit of that flexibility. But the truth is that liberation was the key. Like it was that idea that like, I'll work as hard as anybody and do, but when it's in pursuit of my own creativity.
Yeah.
And it's not against the individuals that you work for. It's this idea of like being a part of a system that's creating wealth or serving systems for others, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, people. You don't all have to be entrepreneurs. In fact, that's why the show is what it is. It's, we can all be entrepreneurial thinkers in our own ways, but I sense that in you. It's like you've figured out how you can still work just as hard and frankly create more, but also just have the liberation of being able to wake up and know that you and your husband are your own bosses and you get to determine how your day is going to go, as opposed to being dependent upon that system, as you said.
Yeah. And that's something, I mean, I feel like I've known, I've always been very ambitious and I've always been kind of a problem solver in a sense of wanting to drive change in a sense to improve. And so I thought to do that in a healthcare system because I love it. Although I loved patient care, I loved supporting nurses even more, like finding ways that I can improve their workflow and that type of stuff. Yeah. I was pouring my heart and soul into this company as a nurse manager. What if I took that same time, energy, and put it into my own business? What could it do? And yeah, that's the choice we made.
It's incredible. So let's talk about this going forward, right? So what's next in this mission to make real estate investing, financial freedom more accessible to nurses? Like, let's talk about the next steps or the scalability of InvestHelp.
Yeah, definitely. So, Willow Investment Group, that's my real estate company. I'll continue to always do real estate deals and raise capital for those. I actually just released a book. I don't have it here with me, but it's called Passive Profits.
Okay.
How healthcare professionals can passively invest in real estate and retire early. So that teaches you a high level view of how these syndications work and how you can get involved. So that's one piece. But yeah, the InvestHelp, the financial health benefit. I mean, this really stemmed from wanting to get the information out to healthcare professionals everywhere and why we decided to move forward. So it's a B2B product. I mean, we just really feel that employers should be providing this for the healthcare professionals.
Yeah. No, and I would imagine putting on my startup entrepreneur mentor hat, right? I mean, that's just the market opportunity, right? I mean, just the pure cost and of time and money to market to and attract individual consumer users to something like this is just so expensive, extraordinarily expensive, and both in time and money, that if you can get into that, into the enterprise, right, and say like, we're gonna make your employees more loyal to you and feel better about working with you because you're gonna be the forward thinking part of their lives that's going to help enable them with this tool set that we've built. That's awesome. So where's it at today as far as like reach or numbers of users or numbers of clients? And then kind of what's it going to look like a year from now, a couple years from now? What's the plan?
Yeah. So we've partnered mostly with associations to start with. We have a bunch of different state nursing associations that are onboarded onto the platform right now. So California, Georgia, Texas, West Virginia. So overall, I think with them like 45,000 users. And then started integrating into staffing agencies. We are doing a couple pilots with international staffing agencies. Their financial needs for healthcare professionals are very, very specific. And so we're coming in. I mean, they're at huge risk for financial harm coming over to our country, really not knowing a lot of these basics. And so we're plugging in with them. And then really kind of line of sight is definitely larger healthcare systems, building even into the physician market through physician groups, medical schools, medical universities, and then eventually like nursing schools. So we truly feel like the sooner healthcare professionals get this information in their career, the better. So universities is also, big goal.
Yeah. So I would imagine. And so if we took one little like kind of use case or user example, so I'm a nurse in the nursing association here in California. We're both in California. Yeah. I now have access to these tools as part of my membership in the association. How might I initially interact with it? Is it through the like online submission of my profile and then I get this financial plan that you referred to before? Or what are the first ways or most active ways that people engage with it?
Yeah, so really through wherever they're accessing their benefits. So any other benefits that their association, employer, anything like that, where they're going to access those benefits is where we're hosted, and we're a web-based platform. So they get a username and password login. So then they're accessing it and they have their own personalized dashboard where they go in and insert that information, and then they do the personalized financial plan. And then really every aspect of their portfolio is integrated with that customization and that personalization. We started looking at a lot of the research that, I mean, Gen Z and the newer generations are really looking for that personalization in a fintech app. So we've really done a great job of gamifying it and making sure it's really unique. So Yeah, it's a web-based platform that they'd be able to log in and access 24/7.
And now I'd imagine because you're creating your own financial freedom through your own real estate investments, like, are you going to have to raise capital from outside investors to build the startup, or are you going to be able to self-finance and build the startup on your own?
Yeah. I mean, we've bootstrapped this far. It's been about a year, went out to market probably about 6 months ago or so. And so, yeah, I mean, initially we were anticipating to raise capital just because when we got into the space, that's what everyone said you should be doing. Right. Now I've been to a lot of different conferences and talked to a lot of different startup founders. And I'm thinking that if I can continue to bootstrap it, especially as we start generating revenue, more and more revenue that we'll be able to. So yeah, still going back and forth on that. But we have, I mean, I have a very big investor database, both from real estate investing and then also through an accelerator program that I went through early on. And so made a lot of great contacts that I have in an email list. So if we get to the point where we're raising capital, yeah, I would love to kick it to some of them.
No, that's awesome. And of course, always, always better, regardless of the macro iterations of the market, which is exactly what's happened over the last couple of years. That you're now hearing people change their tune, so to speak, right? But always, always great or better, more advantageous for you or any founder to go to the market with the more traction possible that you could have, right? Because then the investor pool kind of self-selects and you wind up with the smarter, more savvy people who are more supportive and less trying to be opportunistic and jump into your thing to get themselves rich. But that's awesome. No, and I'll tell you right now, there are listeners who listen to this. That's kind of why I ask. We have a lot of investor listeners, and we also have a lot of in what we call, you are about to become an alumni member of our show, not just a former guest. We have a lot of folks in the network here that have been on the show who are really powerful women investors, you know, angel investors, as well as venture capitalists who are themselves trying to break down the barriers and kind of reset the whole way that venture capital and its broken system works. And I'm sure they'll be excited to see a super talented, powerful, and ambitious young female entrepreneur like yourself doing this. So that's awesome that we get a chance to share that story. All right. So last segment of the show here, last few minutes, we'll set you on your very, very busy day. We'd love to try and get some actionable takeaways. So a little bit of this might be repetitive, but it'll be great context to just let people hear it again. I'll ask you a couple of questions and let's just see if you can give some kind of actionable response or advice so that people can kind of like, what do I do next? Right? How can I take all this awesome interview and listen to Savannah and being inspired by her and not just like talk about this awesome interview and then never change my life? Like, how can I take it away and maybe do something with my friends or myself? Right. So first question, what is a practical first step that a nurse today could take to move him or herself closer to their own financial freedom?
Yeah, I would say first set some goals. This looks so different for everyone. And I think the clearer that you have a vision of where you're going, the easier it'll be to get there. And for us, it was sitting down, like my husband and I, when we first started doing the real estate investing, we sat down and looked at like 3-year goals. Like, what did we want our life to look like in 3 years? What income was coming in? What relationships did we have? What were we doing on a day-to-day? And we got really creative and had a lot of fun with it. And then kind of backtracked. Okay, if that's our 3-year goal, what does it look like at 1 year, 6 months there? And then it kind of lays out step by step what you need to do to get there.
Awesome. All right. So, and this one, I'll broaden it out a little bit. In your particular example, you were a nurse and you then were engaging with other nurses, other doctors, healthcare professionals around you. But how might or what might be some effective strategies for folks who have these kind of entrepreneurial inklings, right, inside their professional field? And they think like, wow, I want to work on something that could benefit these other people that I work with every day. You know, what might be some strategy ideas about how to engage with people in your community or how to motivate them to take action? In your particular case, it was towards financial goals, but like whatever it might be, maybe someone's coming up with a better wellness system or a better, you know, system for educating your kids. And they're thinking like, wow, how can I get my other peers that I work with on a daily basis engaged with these things that I see that they're not seeing?
Yeah. As an entrepreneur, when you're going out to test product market fit, which I think is kind of ultimately what you're asking, like The Mom Test was such a good book and someone recommended that to me early on. It helps you as an entrepreneur start changing your way of thinking to better interpret and understand what the pain points of your potential client are so that you really are solving a problem that truly exists. Because there's tons of founders out there that are solving problems that really don't exist, that they're not painful enough for people to actually pay money for them to solve. And so The Mom Test book, it does a really great job of training you as a founder to go out and start asking the good questions.
Yeah. That's awesome. And again, that your book, so I'll make sure I'll get the specific name. You can email that to me with a link or whatever, and we'll get that in the show notes. So last question, right? If I would have met you 6 years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago, somewhere randomly, probably wouldn't have been at an entrepreneurship event. Yeah. It would have randomly been out somewhere in public. And I would have said to you like, oh, I think you're predestined to be this wildly successful, super savvy entrepreneur. Would you have believed me or would you have thought I was crazy?
I think I would have, just because okay. I've always had this like itch, like this almost insatiable thirst for more and self-discovery and pushing limits. So yeah.
I love it. In that sense, then you are awesome. I'm super excited. I always love when I have an idea for a show and then it exceeds my expectations. Right. Because and you have, because in this sense, like you are the entrepreneurial thinker. Frankly, I'm going to later follow up with you and ask you to help cheat me into the community of healthcare professionals, because I want to meet entrepreneurial thinking doctors. I want to meet entrepreneurial thinking chief nurses and hospital administrators who want to stay on that path for the next 30 years of their career, but they want to do healthcare better. They want to fix our healthcare system. They want to fix how hospitals work. They want to create better patient experiences. Like, because those to me are entrepreneurial thinkers. And in this sense, you were that. And if I had met you and talked 10 minutes with you, I probably would have seen that in you. And it's just been fun that you have also happened to have then matriculated that into a truly entrepreneurial life, where you are building businesses, building investment businesses, building traditional startups, technology companies, which is awesome, because at the time, the traditional entrepreneurial system might not have seen you.
Yeah.
Right? And you might not have, and you may have seen yourself in the mirror and thought like, well, I have all these ideas, or I think like this, but I mean, you know, I don't know. I got to go to work on Monday and work that midnight shift to 8 a.m. because that's how I'm going to, that's what everything about my training has told me. That's the way I'm going to get rich, right? Is I'm going to do this until I retire. And then I'm going to have this retirement thing and my kids will be in their 30s by then. And you just veered from that and said, wait a minute, that can't be my only path.
Yes.
That's awesome. Really cool. Thank you.
Yes. No, it's been great. Thanks for having me.
No, it's awesome to see you. All right. So how do we connect? How do people follow you and connect with you on social media or online websites, whatever?
Yeah. Social media is really my favorite place to showcase really what's going on with my life as a mom, as a nurse, as an investor, as an entrepreneur. So Net Worth Nurse, or The Net Worth Nurse, on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, all the things. And my website is networthnurse.co. And then my investment company is willowinvestmentgroup.com. So you can get a hold of me. I love chatting all things real estate, entrepreneurship, anything. If anything spoke to you during this episode, please reach out and schedule a call. I would love to chat.
100%. And if you have any trouble finding her or getting a hold of her, you can reach out to us at the show. We'll put all of this information in the show notes, so you'll have every way to access her, the books, all the things that we referred to during this episode. Savannah, I'm lucky to know you. I'm super, this is the Uncle Rob in me. Like, I'm super proud of you, because I remember meeting you and thinking like you were just like everybody else and you're just hustling and you're like, I got to get the next step. I want to take them. And to watch what's happened in just the last couple of years has been an awesome journey to enjoy watching. And of course, hey, now you're an alumnus of the show. And so you're part of an incredible network of people like you and different than you all over the world. And any way that I can help you or that we can help you, just keep doing what you do, keep inspiring, educating, empowering others. Can't wait to see what Invest Health does. And I suspect you're going to transform apartment complexes up and down the West Coast. So we're going to keep an eye out for that. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
And as always, we thank you so much for listening. Today's show was recorded in Los Angeles and produced by Deanna Bernal in Mexico City. You can always find, like, follow, subscribe, and share our show on Spotify, Apple, or via any popular podcasting platform. As well as find the new video version of our show now available on our YouTube channel at Entrepreneurial Thinkers. And as always, you can follow along our various social media platforms for fun and informative clips and content at Entrepreneurial Thinkers on most platforms. And if you'd like to connect with me, your host, you can find me at I Am Rob Ryan on just about any social media platform. Gracias, and thank you.